الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، so we're now reaching Barakallahu Fikum, the ninth hadith in this hadith compilation of called Umdat Ahkam from Abdul Ghanish Al-Alama Al-Maqdasi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. In this hadith, we're still continuing on the issue of Al-Wudu. We're still continuing the issue of Wudu in Kitab Al-Tahara. And in this chapter of Tahara, this beginning chapter in Umdat Al-Ahkam, we have two more narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until we go to another chapter, inshallah ta'ala. We'll deal with one, the first hadith today, inshallah. It's very short. It's going to be a brief lesson. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us barakah and tawfiq in that which we are discussing and that which we are studying, and to make us be from those who act upon it and get closer to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala with that which He subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and that which He is pleased with. And Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha qalat kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yu'jibuhu tayammunu fi tana'ulihi wa tarajjulihi wa tuhurihi wa fi sha'nihi kullihi. In the hadith of Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, a short hadith, and that she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يعجبه. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يعجبه, that he used to like, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like? Aisha radiallahu anha, she said كان يعجبه التيمن. He used to like a tayammun. And Ibn Mulaqim rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains the tayammun in the different logat, the different dialects in amongst the Arabs of the different usage of tayammun. But the general meaning of tayammun, ya ikhwan, is starting from the right. Al-bida'atu bil-yamin. Al-bida'atu bil-yamin. Starting from the right. That is tayammun. Tayammun is starting from what? From the right. She said, يُعْجِبُ تَيَمُّن فِي تَنَعْلُئِهِ تَنَعْلِهِ. And tana'ul is with the wearing of shoes, footwear. So Aisha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he used to like or prefer to start with the right, with his shoes. وَتَرَجُّلِهِ, a with combing. A with what? combing, يعني تصفيح شعره وتجميله. In combing his hair, that he صلى الله عليه وسلم would begin with the right side in combing his hair. وطهوره, and طهوره with ضمة طهور, with ضمة طهوره مضاف مضاف إليه, طهوره طهوري طهور ضمة, meaning the action of wudu. The action of wudu, أي that he صلى الله عليه وسلم would like to start with the right as it relates to his a'adha, to his limbs, صلى الله عليه وسلم, once he was performing tahara, once he was performing wudu. And as we know, we've mentioned a few times before that when the word tahur, we have tahur and we have tuhur. We've mentioned this before, but there's no harm in repeating in order for it to be firm in our faham, in our understanding. And that is when we have dhamma in the word tuhur, dhamma, we have dhamma tuhur, and on the ta, sorry, we have dhamma on the ta, tuhur. This means the actual action of purification, and in this case, what that which is is meant here is wudu. That which is meant here is what? Wudu and ghusl as well. And ghusl as well. As for tahur, where the ta is maftuh, where the ta is maftuh and he has a fatha, accusative, he has a fatha, in this sense here, this means the actual water or the tool that is used to get purification, the water that is used to perform purification. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like starting from the right as it relates to his purification, a in ghusl and al-wudu, in ghusl and wudu. وفي شأنه كله, وفي شأنه كله, and with in his, all his affairs, and he, in all his affairs. This is the hadith, and I've used this different method today to go through some of the mufradat, to go through some of the wordings as we're going through the hadith initially in order to save time. And this hadith, as we mentioned, is a Jawami al-Kalam, is a very comprehensive and succinct and concise hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the narrator Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she's informing us, as Sheikh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in his general explanation, that she's informing us of that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love to do. She's informed of that we love to do. Why? Because she was the most knowledgeable. وهي من أعلم, وهي أعلم الناس بأحوال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because she, رضي الله تعالى عنها, عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها, was from is the most knowledgeable individual for mankind of the practices and the states of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is an indication here in this hadith. So she's telling us, radhiyallahu anha, that which the Prophet used to prefer as it relates to his clothing, and that which he used to prefer as it relates to putting his shoes, and that is that he preferred to start from the right. And in beautifying his hair and combing his hair, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he'll start from the right. And in his purification, he'll start from the right. Yani wudu and ghusl. And in all his affairs, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will start from the right. And as for the narrator of this hadith, Aisha radhiyallahu anha, we've mentioned and we've gone through the biography of this illustrious companion, this muhaditha. She was a muhaddith, radhiyallahu anha, al-mu'minin Aisha radhiyallahu anha. We've gone through a tarjama of Aisha radhiyallahu anha, so there's no need for us to repeat that now. Now, and in this hadith, the ulama, rahimahullah ta'ala, have mentioned a few issues that can be taken from this hadith. From the issues that can be taken from this hadith is it obligatory that one starts from the right? Is it obligatory that one starts from the right, that which is taken from this hadith? Is it obligatory? The question is it obligatory that one starts from the right? Ibn Mulaqin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions a quote from Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, and other than them. Ibn Mulaqim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that there is a consensus that there was ijma', that there is a consensus that the ulama have said that if an individual, for example, is performing wudu, and he starts with his left, there is a consensus that he doesn't have to do it again. There is a consensus from the ulama that he doesn't have to do it again, meaning that it's not obligatory for him to start on the right. And it's not a condition for his wudu. And this is the ijma' stated by Ibn Mulaqin, ijma' stated by Ibn Mulaqin and also stated by Nawawi, rahimahumullah. Both of them stated this ijma' and this consensus. And as it relates to consensus and so forth, it's important that we refer to statements of consensus and ijma' back to the scholars of fiqh and scholars of the sha'an, as we have done, and that's like Ibn Mulaqin and Imam Nawawi, and also Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim and so forth. And Nawawi mentions that this is a consensus that if an individual starts with the left, he doesn't have to, or she doesn't have to redo their wudu. The munasibah of this hadith, to the chapter of Tahara is clear, and that is the most important love here is the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would like to start from his right when he is doing wudu and when he's doing purification. This is the key love, and this is the key wording that is in this hadith. So it shows here that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam preferred to and would like to. It's recommended. It's recommended that if one does wudu, that they start with their right. But if they were not to start with their right and they started with their left, then it wouldn't mean that they would have to do their wudu again, as we mentioned with the consensus of the ulama, of the deen. Naam. Another issue here that Ibn Laqi mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, is that Al-Murtadi, a Shi'i, he claimed that it was obligatory that one would have to start from the right. That it was obligatory, as it relates to wudu, that one has to start from the right. And this is the sha'an, of the Shi'i, and this is the way of the Rawafid and so forth, and that the aqwal in aqidah and the aqwal in fiqh is baseless. And it's in opposition to the ulama of the sunnah. It's baseless and it's in opposition to the ulama of the sunnah. And he claimed that Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, said this, and this is not the case. When in reality, the consensus, there was no documentation of any of the ulama that stated that it was obligatory for you to start on the right. That it was obligatory for you to start on the right. Ibn Mulaqin, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentions a lot of benefits as it relates to this hadith. And from the benefits that he mentions in this hadith is that he says that as it relates to the statement of some of the people that say that it's obligatory to start from the right. They say that it's obligatory to start from the right because Imam Shafi said that it was obligatory to have tartib. They said that Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that it was obligatory to have tartib, that the a'adha and the limbs should be done in order in wudu. And they say that from this, it means that the order is also, it's obligatory for it to start from the right. And then the left, they say that this is the order. So they're saying that from the statement of Imam Shafi'i, which we know is the correct opinion, the limbs, the body, the parts in the body, as relates to when performing wudu, that it must be done in order. So they say, yes, it must be done in order. So it's obligatory that one starts from the right, and that is part of the order. I hope that is clear, inshallah ta'ala. This is the opinion of some of the people from before. Ibn Mulaqin said that this is incorrect. You say that this is incorrect because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He said, Aydiyakum wa arjulakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Aydiyakum, your arms in general. So He doesn't mention your right arm first or your left arm first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, Aydiyakum, your arms in general. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mention the right arm first or the left arm first. Wa arjulakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mention your feet up into your ankles. He doesn't mention the right or the, and then the left. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, your feet in general. And that's how the text must remain. So there is no evidence to state that it is obligatory, that is wajib, that one must start from the right and it's tartib, because in this case obviously it means that the wudu of the individual that is doing it is not accepted. It's not accepted. Naam. So this is a fa'idah that Ibn Mulaqim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions. And also we know from the hadith the Prophet Aisha, and even the love that the Aisha mentioned that the Prophet used to like. It doesn't have a sense of obligation in the wording. It doesn't have a sense of obligation in the wording. And of course, this is why the ulama, rahmatullahi alayhim, had the consensus that it is not obligatory. Now, from the benefits that we can take from this hadith is an issue, and that is the fact that from this statement of the Prophet where she said that وَفِي شَأْنِهِ كُلِّهِ, and in all of his affairs, this here we can take from this that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in all affairs that are related to takrim or respect, things that are like takrim, like good things, like for example drinking, and for example putting your foot, your right foot, when going into a place of ibadah like the masjid, and also putting your foot, your right foot first in the masjid and so forth. This is, again, it's not obligatory, but because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this in this hadith, it states that he used to do it in all of his affairs. A, those affairs which have some type of loftiness, those affairs which have loftiness, like ibadah, like putting your foot first in the masjid. Now, putting your foot first in the masjid. And an issue where the ulama differed is for issues where it could be something related to a lofty action, but also it could be related to relieving something that's not so lofty. Like for example, what the ulama have agreed on is, for example, that the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't put his right foot first in going to the toilet, because going to the bathroom, going to the toilet, is not that a lofty act. It's not a lofty act, so he would put his left foot first when going into the toilet. But as for certain issues, like for example, using the miswak, in purifying the mouth, the ulama differed in this regard. Some of the ulama, like Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned when he was asked a question in his majmu' as it relates to using miswak, whether one should use the right hand in using miswak, or they should use the left hand in using miswak. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, said that you use your left hand. He said you lose the left hand because you're cleaning your mouth and you're bringing impurities or dirty things out of your mouth to clean your mouth. So it's an act of removing dirt. So because it's the act of removing dirt, then use your left hand. Others, like Ibn Mulaqin, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned that rather you use your right hand. With the miswak, you use your right hand. Why? He says, because using miswak is ibadah. Using the miswak is ibadah, and it's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So it's a good act. It's a pure lofty act of following the sunnah as it relates to using the miswak. And from this opinion of Ibn Mulaqin is what we have taken from our mashayikh and our ulama, and for me it seems the strongest. It seems the strongest in that using the miswak is something that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore the right hand is better to use the right hand when using the miswak, because it's an act which is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's a lofty act. But obviously the anger of Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, is also strong in that it is removing dirt and so forth from the mouth. So one way that one can collaborate these opinions, as we've taken from some of our sheikh here, is that it depends on the niyyah. It depends on the intention of the individual. If the individual is just cleaning his mouth, his intention is not using it specifically, say, yeah, this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and following the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and using the miswak. If he's doing it just to clean his mouth without the intention of ibadah, then he should use his left hand. But if he is using the miswak as a form of ibadah and to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he goes to salah, he uses the miswak. And when he does wudu, he uses miswak, and he's doing it to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in doing the action of using the miswak. Then in this state, that the individual should use his right hand, and so it goes back to the intention, and goes back to, and that intention, the first hadith that we mentioned and we went through in this book of Umrat al-Ahkam, in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Innamal a'malu binniyat," the actions are by intention. So if your intention is ibadah, use your right hand, and if it's just for normal cleansing, then use your left hand. Now, and this is the collaborative opinion that we've taken from some of our ulama, like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hadi and so forth, as it relates to using the miswak, as it relates to using the miswak. As for the benefits of the hadith, we're going to go to the kalam of Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, as it relates to the benefits of this hadith. The first benefit is mashru'iyyah. Sheikh said the benefits of this hadith is mashru'iyyah al-bada'a bil-yameen fil-wudu' والغسل فيغسل في الوضوء اليمنى من اليدين والرجلين قبل يسرى وفي الغسل يبدأ بغسل الشق الأيمن من البدن قبل الأيسر. Ibn Uthaymeen رحمه الله تعالى, he said that from this hadith, from the benefits that we can take from this hadith, is the legislation of starting with your right as it relates to wudu and ghusl. The legislation of starting with from the right as it relates to wudu and ghusl. And that is that one begins in the wudu, washing their hands, the right hand before the left hand, and washing the right foot before the left foot, right, and the right foot before the left foot. And as it relates to ghusl, that he begins in his ghusl with the right side of his body. He begins washing the right side of his body before he does the left side of his body. And that is a benefit that is taken from this hadith. The second benefit that's taken from this hadith is mashru'iyyat al-bad'u bil rajl yumna fi labs al-ni'al. Sheikh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that from this hadith, the benefit of this hadith is legislation, is the legislation of putting your right foot first and before your left foot, as it relates when you're putting your shoes on. When you put your shoes on, you put your right foot first, and then you do the left. And this is a benefit from this hadith. There's a benefit from this hadith. And as we're saying this hadith, we recall some benefits that was taken from this from our ulama. As we mentioned before, we said that that if an individual he does wudu and he starts with his left, it's obviously not as virtuous as starting from the right, but we established that this is not obligatory for him to start on the right. And what we can take from this is the hadith itself, in that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like to put his right foot first in his shoe and then his left foot, and he used to sallallahu alaihi wasallam comb his right side of his hair, It's her first and it's left, and then it's left. Now, this here shows that it's not obligatory, because combing the hair is not obligatory. Putting the shoes on is not obligatory. So therefore, doing wudu and starting for your right hand side is not obligatory, because it's in the same siyaq. Because it's in the same siyaq, and it's not from the ada and the norm in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that something that is obligatory will be mentioned alongside something that is from the mubahat, or something that is from something that's mustahab. And this is a proof that some of the ulama have used to show that it is not obligatory to start from the right in wudu. The next benefit is, we mentioned already, is the Prophet ﷺ combing his hair from the right side first and then the left. And Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said that which is incorporated in this is also shaving the head. So like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would start combing his hair from the right side and then move on to the left, then it's also likewise when shaving the head. When you're shaving your head, and if, for example, after doing Umrah or what have you, so on Hajj, during Hajj, shaving the head, the right side first, and then you shave the left side. And then you shave the left side. And then the Sheikh mentioned another benefit, and he said, مَشْرُعِيَةَ الْبَدَاءِ بِالْيَمِينِ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And that is the legislation of starting from the right in everything. It started from the right in everything. وَيُسْتَثْنَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ مَا وَرَدَ الشَّرْعُ فِي بِدَاءِ فِي بِالْيَسَارِ كَالدُّخُولُ الْحَمَّامِ وَإِزَالَةُ الْأَذَى وَخَلْعِ النِّعَالِ وَالثِّيَابِ فَيَبْدَأَ بِالْيَسَارِ فِي هَذِهِ وَمَا أَشْبَهَهَا. Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, then he mentions that the exception of the Prophet of starting with the right is from those things that have been legislated. Those things that have been legislated that you do not start from the right. And that's like going into the toilet, or removing harmful things, or something that's filthy and dirty and so forth. And taking your shoes off, meaning that you take your left shoe off first and you put your right foot. So you put your right foot first when you're putting your shoe on, and then you the left. But when you're taking it off, you start with the left and then the right. And also taking your clothes off, you take the left off first, and then you take the right. And why it relates to clothes is because it's obviously when you put your clothes on, you're covering your aura, and it's a lofty action. Covering your aura is a lofty action, so you start by putting your right side of your clothes first, and then the left. But when you're taking it off, because obviously your aura's is generally exposed in that sense, then you take the left off first. Now, and Sheikh rahimahullah ta'ala is expressing, he's showing us his fiqh here, rahimahullah ta'ala, rahimahullah wasi'ah. And then the fifth and the final, sixth benefit the Sheikh mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, is kamal sunnati nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi mara'ati nadhafa fi tarjil al-sha'r wa ghayrihi. And from that we see here is the perfect sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the perfect sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it relates to taking care in cleanliness, as it relates to combing his hair. It relates to combing his hair and other things. It shows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam paid attention to cleanliness and tidiness. He paid attention to cleanliness and tidiness, as mentioned in this hadith, that he used to like starting from the right and combing his hair. So it wasn't just combing it was starting from the right and combing in some type of order, indicating that the care that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed in maintaining and keeping the hair tidy and clean, and other than those things, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's the end of this hadith, ikhwan. And there's other issues as mentioned, but this is, we'll leave it here, inshallah ta'ala, as it relates to this hadith of Aisha, where she said, كَانَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يُعْجِبُهُ تَيَمُّنْ فِي تَرْنَعُولِهِ وَتَرْجُولِهِ وَتُهُورِهِ وَفِي شَأْنِهِ كُلِّهِ. Where she said that the Prophet ﷺ used to like to start on the right, as related to putting his shoes on, combing his hair, and doing wudu and ghusl, and in all of his affair,
And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us be from those who follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his perfection. And wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.